May I say, I think we could go home and say that we've been blessed abundantly already. Thank you, brethren, for sharing the Word of God with us. Such a blessing to see you in just a short time. You younger men are going to carry all of the load. And I believe you're able. I know you and the Lord will make you able. I've already seen how that God's working in your life. And it's not just the men that you've seen here, but I've seen others. This week I was blessed greatly talking to a couple of our men and looking at the wisdom God had given them. And that makes me happy. I can go on to glory thanking God for what you are, what He's made of you. Let's read our lesson today. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 18. Speaking about Jesus, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand. And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw a great multitude about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. That's our reading. I'm going to talk today about our Lord healing three people and the things associated with that. In the last section, the last part of chapter 7, we considered our Lord's warning to us about false prophets. And we saw that the Apostle Peter taught us that false teachers would come among us as they had been among Israel. And we were told, and we all know this, we can tell a tree by its fruit. And you can take the fruit and decide what kind of tree it came from. And this is the way we discern false prophets. We also saw that in the last day, many are going to say to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done in your name many wonderful works? We've cast out devils, prophesied in your name." But Jesus said, "I never knew you." These are professing Christians, not Buddhists, not Hindus, not Muslims, but they profess to be followers of Christ, but are not his children. And then he closed the chapter by reminding us about building our lives on his words. What can we say? The people that are going to stand the storms of life, which will surely come, are those who put their trust in the Word of God and in the sayings of our Savior Jesus Christ. The world's philosophies will not stand the storms of life, which surely will come. But we can trust the Lord and we can trust His Word. So, with those thoughts in mind, we want to consider what's before us here today. Verse 1 says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him." Now we remember, he went up into a mountain. And when he had sat down, he taught them what we have studied, the Sermon on the Mount. And now as he comes down the mountain, great multitudes of people follow him. And we read in verses 2 through 4 the account of the leper. "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, 'See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.'" Now both Mark and Luke record this incident. And I just want to mention what Mark said about it, that find out in chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. "But he said the leper came to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him." He humbled himself before the Lord. Luke said, "He saw Jesus and fell on his face and besought him." All three of them tell us the full story. This man was filled with a loathsome disease. He came to the Lord, fell on his face in a clear attitude of worship. This man had leprosy. In a New Testament record, we'll see our Lord cleansing several lepers. As you know, there was not then and still is not a cure for leprosy. Leprosy is a type of sin. God alone can cure leprosy and forgive sin. You probably are not aware of this, but leprosy is still rampant and is found among God's people. We have a dear brother down in Louisiana who is a leper. I talk to him often, pray for him daily. Leprosy is horrible. It's not always the same, but it commonly starts with a little spot like the puncture of a pin, and it looks a little bit like a ringworm. At first, the spots come about your nose and the eyes, and they increase in size, and they get as big as a pea or a bean. They gradually spread until they cover the whole body. The disease is deeply seated in the bones and in the marrow and the joints of the body. A leprous person may live 30, 40, 50 years with the disease. Some get it from birth. It advances from one stage to another. Slow and certain ruin. Finally, the joints, the hands and the feet lose their power, and the body collapses. Sometimes the fingers and toes fall off. The wretched victim is doomed as he sees himself dying a little bit at a time. Sure that no human power can stop it or heal it. This poor man came to Jesus and said, "You're my only hope. If you will, you can make me clean." I believe he was assured that Jesus could do that and rid him of this horrible thing. So he humbly submits to his will. "Lord, if you're willing, you can." I thought about this. I thought about sinners who go about their life. Maybe one day God turns the light on and lets them see where their sin is leading them. They're gradually and slowly dying and going down the road to perdition. And that's when, praise God, they can turn their eyes upon Jesus. "Lord, if you will, save me from my sin." So they believe. Now, this man could have said, "I don't want anybody to see this. It's embarrassing." He might be thinking about his own vileness, how wretched and how ugly I am. Glory to God. He cleansed him in a moment. And he saves sinners in a moment. They have a knowledge of salvation. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. And immediately, the sores were gone. The spots were gone. Instant cleansing. Thank God. In the same way, the Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's a picture of it. The man comes to the place that he believes that the Lord will, that the Lord has the power. He calls upon him in prayer. The poor thief on the cross was dying, and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they wouldn't call on him unless they believed. They must have heard the gospel. And a preacher must have been sent. Thank God for that. So Jesus cured a leper. Let's look at verses 5 through 10. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go and he goeth, and to another, come and he cometh, and to my servant, do this and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. In reading both accounts from Matthew and Luke, we see that Jesus came to Capernaum. The centurion besought him for his servant with the palsy. And first, according to Luke's account, the centurion sent the elders of the Jews who came to plead with Jesus for this man whom they had great respect for. And the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just say the word. Just say the word. In Luke's account, he gave us a better understanding of why the Lord said this man had great faith. In Luke, he said, for I also am a man under authority. I know you are. I know you came from God. I know you came to do his bidding. And I'm a man under authority like that. Great faith, looking at him, at the Son of God. Now, this centurion was a Roman soldier and a Gentile. And that's why Jesus' words in the next two verses are so important. In verse 11, he said, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. This shows us that our God is calling a great multitude, which no man can number, out of every people, kindred, and tongue across the earth. These are Gentiles. And just like this Roman centurion was a Gentile. And all of us, with all of those who are going to sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. While those Israelites of that day who rejected Jesus as the Messiah, as the King, are going to be thrust out from the kingdom. Every time I read what John saw, I'm just blessed. He said in Revelation 7, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. This great host of people we'll see again in the 19th chapter when they follow Jesus out of heaven on white horses to take the kingdom. And that's what he's talking about. This is a great warning to the religious Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes who are called the children of the kingdom. They were religious, but unsaved. They were looking for a temporal king to take them out from under the iron yoke of the Roman Empire. They refused the Lord. And just a few short years after these words were spoken, a powerful prince came from Rome with his armies and besieged Jerusalem, killed and captured and scattered all the people. Tragic. Verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. What a blessing it must have been for this man who loved his servant so much and got home and he was healed of that horrible thing he was suffering. Now let's read verse 14 and 15. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose. Mark says in Mark 1, 29 through 31, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. So Capernaum was where Peter's house was. He and Andrew evidently lived together. James and John had gone in with them. So some of them told the Lord about Peter's mother-in-law. Interesting to me. The Lord raised this woman up, cured her fever, and she's up and about serving. I can't help but say this. The Roman Catholics wrongfully claim that Peter was the first pope. They forbid their priest and the others to marry. That Peter was clearly married. And he wasn't the first pope, by the way. to false religion. Babylon has many lies. It's grievous to me that they forbid their priests to marry. What blasphemy. Marriage is honorable in all, the Bible says, and that includes all men. So we read where our Lord had healed a leper, one with the palsy and one with the fever. Verse 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. I think more and more in our land as we see people who are devil worshipers, you'll see more of them who are actually possessed with demonic spirits. In Bible days, it appears that was a common thing. And those who had these evil spirits controlling their body, the Lord dispelled them with his word. A number of these things happen in the New Testament. We find where men, women, and young people were possessed with devils, and the Lord cast them out. He never gave the church a commission to cast out devils, but they most certainly did that. I'm convinced that for those of us that know the Lord and are saved, that's never going to happen. Amen. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Amen. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Jesus' words were enough to dispel the evil spirits from the bodies of those who were possessed by them. He's the Lord and Master. They had no choice but to obey him. It goes on to say that he healed all that were sick. What a blessing it was when the Lord healed the sick. It's no fun being sick, is it? Some of you just got over some of that. And it's a grievous thing to be sick in body. Verse 17 says, he healed the sick, cast out the devils, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This passage comes from Isaiah 53 and verse 4, where it says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Isaiah states the doctrine of atonement, and that the Messiah was to suffer for sin. In the verse quoted here, he states the very truth that Matthew declares. The word translated griefs in Isaiah and infirmities in Matthew means diseases of the body. And neither does it refer to the disease of the mind or to sin. So the Lord had power over sickness. He stilled us. He preserves us in ways I think that we hardly even realize. Keeps us from it. In the last verse, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. I can understand why the multitudes came. They wanted to be rid of their physical ailments. The Lord didn't heal every single person all the way through, but he departed away from this multitude. He told his disciples, let's go across the Sea of Galilee, which was located right beside the city of Capernaum. In these 18 verses, we've seen our Lord heal three different persons individually, then healed all the sick who came to him at eventide. He put forth his hand, touched the leper, and healed him immediately. At the request of the centurion, he said, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so it be done unto you. And his servant was healed. He came to Peter's house and encountered his mother-in-law who had a fever. The fever left her. So we see the healing of the sick. But I want to make this, I want to put this in front of you again so that you do not understand wrongly. These extraordinary powers were peculiar in the time of the apostles, but ceased when the New Testament was completed in the first century. Jesus gave his apostles the power to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. But he did not tell the church that. But what we do have is this from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And I want to impress this upon you. Is any sick among you? James writes, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.